have a good, good Father, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Let's sing it out to him, right?
How about a song to him?
Always. You know something that I heard yesterday? It said, the interesting thing about miracles is they happen. Don't they?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That was awesome this morning. Amen?
Amen, Pastor.
And thank God for JJ. And wow. Talk about talent. Amen? So God is good. And he's good all the time. That's right. That's right. Thank you. Okay, church. So this morning, we will continue with the series that the Lord has inspired us to begin just a couple of weeks ago in the book of Joshua. And some time ago, I think it was about a month ago, the Lord spoke to us about how Caleb wanted to conquer his land, the land that belonged to him, the land that the Lord had promised him. And we learned that we all need to have that spirit in us, that spirit of Caleb, the one that has a go-getter attitude in the spirit, that is. And so last week, the Lord spoke to us about how Moses, we went back before Caleb's conquest. We went back several years in the book of Joshua, right at the beginning, where Moses had just passed away. Moses had been called home, and he was mourning just like the rest of the Israelites. And the Lord told him, get up. It's time to do your work. It's time to get to work. And he did that. And so today we are going to Joshua chapter 3. And this is when the Israelites are about to go into the promised land. The Lord had promised them that. And so they're about to go in, but they're facing a dilemma. They're facing something they had never faced before in their life. Amen? Have you ever been in that position or situation before, church? I think we are. And I think we are at this very moment as a church. Amen? We're facing something we've never faced before, but worry not, because the Lord is with us. He is with you. He is with me as we speak. And so Joshua and the whole nation of Israel are facing or about to face that. And, you know, that's where doubt can come in. That's where fear can come in, you know, with all its might. Fear can be something that weakens you. You know, it's so debilitating when you feel fearful or fearing, when you're fearing. And when you're afraid or when you're uncertain, and that's exactly where Joshua and this nation are at this very moment in the book of Joshua. So, but before we go there, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 3. Let's see what the good old Lord had to say about that. Amen. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Amen. And it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus is at the in the Jordan River, that is, okay? He's getting baptized there. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Amen. So, just keep that in mind, that account of Jesus getting baptized. Very important. In that same place, the Jordan River, we're going to go back centuries prior to that, thousands and thousands of years prior to that moment. And this is where we come in, Joshua chapter 3. Very, very important time. Very, very important for the nation of Israel. And it says, Joshua 3, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River. where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, "Purify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you." In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, "Lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river." And so they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there." So Joshua told the Israelites, "Come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know what the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall." Wow. Talking about miracles, right? Woo. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed. As the people passed by, they waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. There's the Jordan River again, amen? So let's go to the Lord in prayer, the Lord of all the earth, amen? The Lord who wrote this book, the Lord who's bringing the message this very morning. Praise the living God. Father, we thank you this morning for this awesome opportunity to be here in your house, Father. Father, we ask you to move just like you've moved through the songs and the worship. Father, we ask you to move in this message through your word. Father, speak to us, Father God, as we go deep in your word and minister our needs in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So like I was saying previously, church, here is Israel and Joshua, its leader, and they're facing a dilemma. God had promised them a land, I mean, a huge, huge amount of land. Last week we talked, or 2 weeks ago, rather, we mentioned it was thousands and thousands of square miles of land that the Lord had promised to give them. Now, they were about to enter that promised land, but something was standing in the way. I am very sure that the word went throughout the camp that morning or the 3 days prior to that. We are going into the land. But where's the land? It's right across that river. How are we going to get there? How is God going to get us there into that place? What is God going to do about that? We all have questions like that, amen, this morning. How is God going to do something in my life? How is God going to move in my family? What is God going to do about this situation that we are facing at this very moment? God has something to say about that, church. God has the final say. He's got the final word in every situation you and I face on a daily basis. Amen. There's no big thing for God. There's no little thing for God. For some reason, I tell you, church, this morning, that's why Joshua declared that he is the Lord, not of this community only. He is not the Lord of this nation. Of course, he is. Amen. But not only of this nation, not only of this continent, but he is the Lord of all the earth. Amen. He is the Lord of the universe. Praise the living God. So God had something to say to them. And that's why, church, it says that early the next morning when Joshua got up and all the Israelites had left the place of their encampment, the place where they had stayed for a little while. But please notice that it says early the next morning. Apparently, Joshua had spent time with the Lord. That was a fact. That was a given. Joshua, as the leader, spent time with God, and he rose early. There's another version that reads, Joshua made an early start, early in the morning, says the NIV. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from the camp and went to the Jordan River. So he and all the Israelites left that place early in the morning and went right next to the Jordan River. You know, we see here that Joshua did not procrastinate. That's a very fancy word. And it's something we used to do, or we do a lot. It's something that I used to do, and I still do that. Procrastinate, tend to put things off for later on. Amen. It can wait. I'll do it later. And then when the time comes, you begin to run and you begin to rush. Amen. Or is it just me, church? I think all of us have been in that situation. Joshua did not procrastinate. He was proactive and took initiative. He did something about the situation. And because of that, the Bible says that the people followed him. You know, when we're in the Christian walk, when we're walking with Christ, church, there is no room for procrastination. Amen. There is no room for procrastination in the Christian walk. You and I must be proactive, spiritually speaking. Amen. We must be proactive. We must take the initiative. And when we do that, other believers will follow us. Get up in the morning and pray. And you'll see how your loved ones, your sons, your daughters, you know, your family will begin to get up and pray. If you do it in the morning, or if you do it later in the evening, after work or after school, take the initiative. Don't procrastinate. Seek the Lord during the day. Make some time. Make the time to seek God, whether it's through prayer or through reading the word, and you'll see how others begin to follow you. Do it at work, church. Do it at work, and you'll see how others will begin to follow you. I remember this young man when I was in high school. He was probably the only Christian, I think, in that high school, or so I thought. And it was a high school in Baton Rouge, and it had about 1,200 students, I believe, if I recall. And early in the morning before the first period, he would meet by himself in a classroom. He had asked for permission, and so he would pray in that classroom. And then all of a sudden, others began to join him, and I was one of them, you know, because he knew I was a Christian, although I was kind of like the type, the secret type of Christian. You know, I was ashamed to be called a Christian back then, being a youngster. But then, to my surprise, other students began to join for prayer. And all of a sudden, we were having a Bible study every morning before class started. Talk about taking the initiative, church. Talking about being proactive. I believe and I know that God used those moments in my life to shape me spiritually and to take me, you know, all the way where I am now in my Christian walk, which, you know, I still need to learn a whole lot. But we see here that Joshua did not procrastinate. He got up early in the morning with all the Israelites and went there next to the river. So let us be early risers in the Lord's work. Let's take the initiative. We can find something to do here in this place, which is, you know, there is so much to do in the Lord's work. Amen. So much that we can do here in this place and in our community. It also says, church, that Acacia Grove was their encampment, was their place where they had spent some time replenishing themselves, refreshing themselves. They were resting in that area because something huge awaited them. And God was just not going to throw them like that, you know, all of a sudden. He was going to give them some time to replenish, some time to be refreshed, some time to gather strength, some time so they could seek the Lord. So it was their place of encampment. In fact, it says here, another version, that their last resting place before they crossed the Jordan was that very same place called the Acacia Grove. I was reading, church, that this place was a plain or a valley, and it was in the land of Moab, which was an enemy nation of Israel, and it was full of acacias, which is a tree that has a very fragrant flower, very aromatic, very, very beautiful. And these trees provided a lot of shade and comfort and protection in the desert sun to the Israelites. You see, God knows where He's going to take you, church. He knows where you're going to need rest. He knows where you're going to have to stop for a moment and be replenished. Maybe you've suffered a loss, the loss of a loved one. You know, maybe you lost your job, or maybe you're going through a difficult situation and God tells you, hey, son, hey, daughter, you need to take a break. Stop. Stop and replenish yourself in my presence. Stop and refresh yourself in my presence. Stop and be comforted in my presence. That's how the Lord is. He is a good God, a good Father, just like we sang just a few moments ago. So Israel had a place, church, and a time to rest, be refreshed, and replenish before they went off to war, before they went back to do the Lord's work. But you know what, church? The Bible says that God didn't want them there all the time. God did not promise that place, that piece of land, but the one that was across the river. That speaks to us that we might be in a place where we're resting and we're getting refreshed. And we're just waiting on the Lord. We're sitting still. God, what am I going to do? God, where am I going to go? Lord God, what do I need to say? God, who do I need to speak to? Lord, show me in your word, what do you have for me? And you're in that moment, church, in that intimacy with the Lord. You're spending time with Him, getting, recovering from something, recuperating, church. But then, just like Israel had to get up and go, there is a time that we need to get up and go and leave our places of comfort. Leave that comfort zone, church. Leave that place that we might be getting accustomed to, church, because there is a time to rest, a time to get replenished, but there is also a time to stand up and leave our comfort zones and go and do what the Lord has asked us to do. Amen. God expects us to leave our comfort zones and go into the place where He wants us to be. Where does God want you to be this morning? Where does God want us to be as a church, as a congregation? You know, the Lord has a special place for us in this community, y'all. Amen. Amen. Yes, this place is special. And God has a purpose. God has a goal for this church in this community and for each and every one of us in this place. But we need to get up and need to go. And that's exactly what Israel did. Israel, alongside with Joshua, got up and went right where God wanted him to be, right next to the Jordan River. And it says here that the Lord gives Joshua instructions, and He tells them the next things he needed to do or what next steps he needed to take. You know, that's how God works, church. He'll tell you what to do next. He will tell us where to go next. He will tell us what steps we need to take. He will tell us what things to say next, amen. He will bring the message next, amen. It's his message, by the way. Somebody once suggested, hey, why don't you preach the same message from Saturday night? That'd be a lot easier, you know, from our sister church here on Saturday nights. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's very tempting. But sometimes God doesn't work like that, church. God has a message for the Spanish church on Saturday nights, and God has a different message for us on Sunday mornings. God is my witness, amen? And so he even will tell you what to share. He even will show you what to speak, amen? So exactly it is what happened with Israel. It says here that the Lord in verses 3 through 7 tells them the next steps that they need to take. And it says here that they needed to follow the Levitical priest carrying the ark. Verse 3, when you see the Levitical priest carrying the ark of the covenant or the ark of God, you move out from your positions and follow them. When you see them move, you move. Follow the ark. The NIV reads, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. When you follow that ark, when you follow him. You know, the ark was a reminder of God's presence in Israel. In fact, God inhabited the ark of the covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant, you can find a few items. Some of the few items you could find was the tablets of the Ten Commandments and some other things, samples of the manna that had fallen from heaven, and a few other items which reminded Israel of his presence. So the Ark reminded Israel of God's continuous presence. And so they had to follow his presence wherever it went. They had to move out whenever the ark moved. That's how they had to do. That was the first step. So if God doesn't move, church, if God is not moving, let's not move. But wherever God shows you to move, you go. And I'm talking in the ministry and what you have to do here in the church, amen, and what you have to do here in the community. That's what the Lord is talking about. If God doesn't tell you to move, then stay still. Be still and wait on him, because he knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for your family. He knows what's best for the situation that you are in. It says that the Israelites had to look for the presence of God, look for the Ark of the Covenant, get up and follow it. So the Lord is saying this morning, look for his presence. Seek his presence. That's a very important step in every situation you find yourself in, church. Seek God's presence. Yes, you can seek other friends' counsels. Amen. You can seek advice from our leaders. Amen. Yes, yes. You can go to the pastor and speak with him and ask for prayer or our leaders in the church. But first and foremost, seek the presence of God in every situation. And then when you find the presence of God, church, you follow it. You go after it. You seek the presence of the Lord, and then you attach yourself to it. Don't let it go, church. You can let anything else go, but don't ever let the presence of God go. Not from your family, not from your life, especially not from this church, amen. The presence of God is here in this place. We can feel it, amen, amen. He is here. Praise the living God. And it says also, church, in verse 5, that another step they needed to take besides seeking the presence of God and following the presence of God was to purify themselves. Consecrate yourself, reads another version, meaning you need to purify yourself or be holy. Separate yourself. Dedicate yourself to God before the task that is ahead of you. You're about to do something important, Israel, God was telling them. You're about to undertake the greatest task, or one of the greatest tasks in your life, and that is to cross this place and go into the promised land. But before you dare to do that, consecrate yourself. Seek the Lord, follow His presence, and separate yourself from what? From the world. Be holy as I am holy. You know, they had to prepare themselves so that God could move in them, so that God could move through them. You know, they had to purify themselves, and that's speaking of all the ceremonial stuff they had to do back in the Old Testament, church, amen, which is a prototype of what Jesus did for us on the cross in Calvary, amen. So they had to purify themselves so they could be clean vessels in the hands of the living God. When you drink water, church, you make sure you look for a clean glass, amen. Nobody likes to drink from a dirty cup. No, you gotta use a clean glass, amen. So it's the same thing in God's hands. He wants clean vessels. He told them in Leviticus 11:44, "For I am the Lord your God," not the Moabite God, not the Philistine God, no, not the Canaanites gods. They were demons, basically. "For I am the Lord your God. You must consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy." You know, even though that is in the Old Testament, that applies to us this very morning, church. Before you do anything for the Lord, as a head of the family, as a mom, as a dad, before you do anything as an employee or a business owner, or as a ministry leader, or as a minister or pastor, before you try to undertake anything, any type of task, consecrate yourself. Peter talks about that, church, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. For those in the church that sometimes think, hey, you know, that doesn't apply to me. That was in the Old Testament, being consecrated and being purified and this and that. No, the Bible says that Peter writes to the churches, all the churches back then and all the churches today. So prepare your minds for action. Amen. Prepare your minds for action. Are we preparing ourselves this morning, church, for action? Yes. We must prepare ourselves for action. And it says, and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Amen. Jesus is coming back. He's coming soon, church. Amen. He's coming for a holy church. And it says here, so you must live as God's obedient children. Not disobedience. Obedient children. You know, we're all obedient this morning because we're in church this morning. And the Bible says, church, that we must continue to congregate, not like some who have stopped congregating. Now, I understand that some people have reasons to be absent on a Sunday morning, traveling, vacation. It's all good. Illness, it's understandable. Something came up at work, it's understandable. But that should not be the norm, church. It shouldn't be the norm, amen? That's from the Lord. That's a little extra. Amen. He's good. But it says here, church, be obedient, children. Don't slip back into your old ways. No. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do. Another version reads, in all conversation, in all behavior, with your attitude, with the way you speak to others, with how you fellowship, even be holy, it says here. You must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. He is holy. He is separate, church. He is pure. And it says, for the scripture said, you must be holy because I am holy. So God is calling us to be holy this morning. He's calling us to separate ourselves from the world. It doesn't mean we become hermits. You know, it doesn't mean we go out into a mountain, you know, and just hide from the world. And remember, a saint is not a person who does that, who goes away and hides or becomes some type of hermit. We are all saints because we sanctify ourselves in Jesus Christ. That's what holy means, to sanctify yourself, to be separate. So we must separate ourselves from the world that so that the Lord can do great things in us. And the Lord can do great things through us. That was another step they needed to take. And then in verse 7, God, going back to the story, God tells Israel in verse 7, he says, take a few steps into the river and stop. That's all you need to do. Take a few steps into the river and stop. So the feet of the priests had to touch the water. And when they touched the water, it would be cut off upstream and the river would stand up like a wall, it says here. That was the promise of God. So we see the priest that they had to go into the water and they had to get their feet wet before crossing the Jordan. You know, the Lord is telling us that this morning. He's calling us as a church, as individuals, to get your feet wet when it comes to the ministry. Remember, take initiative. You see a need, do something about it. Someone needs ministering, you call them up. You roll up your sleeves, in another way of putting it. Roll up your sleeves and get your hands to work, church. But we must get our feet wet. Get out of your comfort zone and then go closer to the river, church. And then you get your feet wet and you let the Lord do the rest. Amen. But I can't do that, brother. I'm not able to do that. You try. And you'll see what God is able to do. But brother, you know, I'm very timid. I'm not able to share the gospel with my friends at work. You try. And then you see that when you get your feet wet, the Lord will do the rest for you. I always remember about the time when I was a freshman in college back in Baton Rouge. And, you know, being in that university type of setting where, you know, the secular abounds and really, you are not able to find a lot of Christians. I remember going to lunch to the cafeteria and seeing another student read his Bible during lunch. And you can imagine the faces and all the mockery because that student was reading the Bible. He was taking the initiative. He was getting his feet wet. Without having to stand up on a table and say, repent, repent. Some of my friends used to do that, though. I mean, but that was something the Lord had called them to do. And they would get in trouble, of course. But I remember my friend Lee used to do that and read the word. And I was so encouraged. And guess what? The next thing that happened, I was doing the same thing. Sitting right next to him, reading the scriptures. And then another one, and another one joined us. That's what happens when you get your feet wet and you let the Lord do the rest, church. That's what we need to do. That's what the Lord is calling us to do. Get our feet wet before we go into the Jordan River. Amen. So what was the result of all this? The result, we find it in verses 14 through 17. It says that the people left the camp and the priests led them. The Levitical priests led them. And as soon as the priests and their feet touched the water, they were expecting the unexpected, church. That's how God works. Suddenly, I mean, I can just imagine that very moment when the water stopped flowing. And then it began to build up and build up and build up like a huge wall. And I'm talking about a huge river, church, you know, this river that would overflow its banks during the flood season. And then they began to cross the river. God had opened a way. God had made a way for them to cross that river. You know, the Jordan church in this instance can stand or can remind us of the obstacles that you and I are facing as of now. You are facing obstacles, I'm very sure. And if you're not, praise God, because you will face them eventually if you're calling yourself a Christian. We all call ourselves Christians this morning, amen? Paul says, if anyone calls himself a Christian, he will be persecuted. He will suffer. If the master suffered, we are going to suffer as well. We've been blessed as a nation. Let me tell you, America has been blessed tremendously beyond our imaginations. And we have not suffered persecution like other brothers and sisters throughout the world. I was telling the church last night, not with this message, but a very similar message, that I remember the time in the 80s when the communists took over my former country of Nicaragua, how they would go into churches, church saints, how they would go into churches and confiscate Bibles, and they would throw people into prisons for calling themselves Christians, and they would take the Bibles and burn them in huge piles. And with all due respect, I want to say this, they would use this as bathroom tissue, yes, in order to mock God. It was persecution. That is something we haven't seen, I don't think, in our nation. I don't believe we've seen that overall. So we've been blessed beyond measure to be in a place like this. Praise God for this. But you know what? If we call ourselves Christians, we are going to face obstacles on a daily basis. But God is going to open up the way. God will show us how to cross that Jordan. God will show us how to cross that river, how to get to the other side, church. As a congregation this morning, the Lord is going to show us how to get to the other side and continue the ministry. God will show you, dad, mom, how to deal with your little ones if you're dealing with them at this very moment, or you have teenagers, or you have kids who do not want to come to church. The Lord is going to show you how to deal with that, and he's going to open up the Jordan so you can cross on dry ground. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to do that. Jesus, many years later, we find Jesus at the Jordan River. And it says here that he had gone there to be baptized, church. And John was there preaching repentance. And people were just coming in huge crowds. You could see the multitudes of people flocking to the Jordan River. And it was a time for revival for Israel, by the way. This was during the first century. AD. And so during the Roman Empire, and so people were flocking to the river wanting to repent. And you know, the interesting thing about this is that the average Jew, the average Israelite back then did not consider himself to be a sinner because he was part of a holy nation. He was part of Israel. So they were special. The average Jew would say back then, yeah, I'm special. You know, I'm saved. Why? Because I was born in Israel. I'm an Israelite. I'm a Jewish. I don't need to repent. But God began to move with his mighty Holy Spirit by the time Jesus was born. And the Holy Spirit began to convict hearts. And people began to go to hear God's message that came from above, came from God. And John would say, repent, repent of all your sins. And people would go into the water and be baptized as a baptism of repentance, of showing, hey, this is a type of ceremonial cleansing of my sins, and I'm repenting of them. And then John would see the Pharisees and the Sadducees come by because they always wanted to see what was going on, you know, being the religious sects. Being the religious groups, being those who thought they were better than others, holier than thou attitude, because they were Pharisees and they supposedly knew the law, although a lot of times they misinterpreted the law. And Jesus told them the truth in their face. And John was not the exception. John told them, you brood of vipers, who has shown you that you need to repent? Who has shown you of the coming wrath of God? And so Jesus appears in this scene. He comes, and then he wants to be baptized by John. And John refuses to baptize him because John says, you are the Messiah. You are holy. You are God yourself. What are you doing here in this river where all these sinners are repenting? I refuse to baptize you. In fact, you should be baptizing me, he tells Jesus. And Jesus tells him, look, it says in verse 14, but John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me, Jesus? And then Jesus says, well, let's fulfill all righteousness, John, and let's go ahead with it, okay? Let's do this because we're fulfilling the righteousness of God. And so he was baptized. You know what the Bible tells us about that situation, church? In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering of our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. There's another version that reads, for God made Christ, who never sinned, a sinner. Or sin, it says there. What it's saying is that God, Christ himself, took our place. He took your place. And when he was being baptized in that river, it was an obstacle to him. You know why? Because he was God himself and he had never sinned. He knew no sin, the Bible says. He was holy. He was pure. And yet he wanted to become like one of us. And it was an obstacle to the living God in a way. Because first of all, he left his throne. Amen. He left his righteous place. Just think about this, church, this morning. Jesus didn't have to come down here and die for us. No, he didn't. He was under no obligation to do it. None whatsoever. Yes. That's the harsh reality this morning. He was under no obligation to leave his throne and come down and humble himself and live as a man. Yet he did it. You know why? Because he loved you. He loved me. He loved us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. So that obstacle, in a sense, to Jesus was nothing because he went right into the water. He went down into the water of the Jordan River. And when he was baptized, the Bible says that he got out of the water. And instead of the water parting itself, church, instead of the water drying up, the Bible says that the heavens were opened up, church. The heaven, you know, scholars and theologians and pastors who know much more than I do, they say, church, that when the heavens were open, you could see the throne of God, not the universe, not the stars, not the sun. You could see the throne of the living God and him sitting up there, church. And the heavens were open and a voice was heard. John saw the heavens open and the people heard a voice alongside John saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. What God is saying to us this morning, church, is that when we step up to the plate, when we leave our comfort zones, church, when we decide to serve Jesus once and for all and stop playing church and stop playing with God and be real, a real Christian, then God will take all your obstacles out of the way. This, no joke, this real easy, this no big thing for him, and he will move them out of your way so that you may continue unto what the Lord is telling you to do. Dad, mom, my dear brother and friend, he will take all those things out of the way as a church and he will help you cross that river. But then he will open up the heavens as well, church, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You know, the Lord had told Joshua, and I'm about to wrap it up. The Lord had told Joshua, tell them that they have never traveled this way before. I've never been this way before, church. This is all new to me. I've never been down this way before. So I thought I had been in a transitional time before, and I was 20, 30 years ago. But that was so different to what I'm facing right now, church. Why? Because I've never been down this way before. You are facing something, or you're about to face something this week, which you've never been that way before. But guess what? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with us this morning. The Lord is going to help you. He's going to carry you through it, church. He's going to carry you through it, mom. He's going to carry you through it, young lady. This morning, the Lord will do that. And when the Lord told Joshua, you've never been this way before, but they will guide you. The Levitical priest, you know, that was a prototype of Jesus himself, our high priest. Amen. He is leading the way. He is ahead of us, church, this morning. He is ahead of your family. He is guiding you. He is providing you the comfort that you need. And it says, stay about a half mile, though. Don't touch the ark. Keep a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer to the ark, church. Whoa. You know what happened if they would touch that ark? It's just a box. It's just a wooden box. I saw it in the movies. I saw that in the movies, and it was just a box. In fact, there's probably somewhere out there, you know, hiding. I don't know who's got it, but it's a box. No, church. It was the presence of the living God represented in that box, and they couldn't touch it. Because if they touch it, church, they drop dead right there on the spot. Remember, God is holy. We cannot approach him with stain. We cannot approach God on our terms, not as a church, not as individuals. We must approach him on his terms, on his conditions. Remember, he's God, he's all sovereign. That's not fair. You know, keep a clear distance. Don't get any closer. But you know now, church, that the heavens were opened up. And when you seek the Lord and you decide and say the same things Joshua says, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to serve God with my family. Y'all make up your minds. Who are y'all going to serve? That's your decision. My decision is to serve God with my family. Me and my family will serve the Lord. And when you make up your mind, when we all do, and begin to serve the Lord, God is going to take those things out of the way. He's going to open up the heavens, and we're going to be filled with his presence. We're going to be carriers of his presence, church. We're not only going to be seekers and followers of God, we're going to be carriers of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, church. Yes, we are going to carry the presence of the Lord wherever we go. Psalms 116:9 says, and so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. And Stephen, the first martyr of the church, remember Stephen, who was stoned to death because of his witness? It says in Acts 7:55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he was full of the Spirit. He was full of God. He was full of joy. He was full of love. He was full of patience, faith. You name all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all the fruits, which are above the gifts. Amen. Fruits first, gifts later. I'd rather have the fruits than the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Patience, love, amen. Whew. He was full of those things. Guess what happened to Stephen? He gazed steadily into the heaven, and he saw them open. So when you're about to face an awful, ugly situation, church, You looked up to heaven, and you'll see how God is going to open up the heavens to you spiritually. And you'll see the Holy Spirit come upon you, descend upon you. In fact, that's what the Jordan means. Jordan means descending, descending. It's going to descend. It's going to come down upon you, and you'll be able to be full of the presence of God. He says here that he gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Jesus himself, he was not sitting on the throne. He was standing. No king would dare to stand in anyone's presence, church. Back in the old days, kings would remain seated. You and I would stand in the king's presence. That's still protocol, I believe. You would stand in the king's presence. But for a king to stand up, church, to stand up in someone's presence, that would mean a lot of honor and a lot of dignity bestowed on his subject. We're not subjects. We're daughters and sons of the king. Amen. Let's all stand this morning and praise him. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is good. He's got something good for each and every one of us this morning, church. He's got something awesome ahead of you. Please do not despair. Please do not be hopeless. Let's all rejoice in his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, I just pray this morning, Lord, and I thank you for speaking to us, Lord Jesus. Father, I just pray that you would help us to overcome obstacles. Help us, Father, to cross this Jordan River. We've never been down this way before, Lord. We've never traveled this way before, Lord God. But you have, and you know what's on the other side. So I pray, God, that you would help us this morning to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.